Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Power Up and Game, and the first episode of what we're unofficially calling Power Up and Recommend. My name is Taylor. I'm going to be your host today. Joining me is the usual host of Power Up and Game, Mr. Michael Mosley. Michael, how you doing?
I am doing great, and I cannot wait to see you take over the ring as, well, the ringleader.
Yeah, we just wanted to have this kind of episode or these kinds of episodes a little bit of a different feel than our usual episodes where, you know, you're running things. So we're not covering any news stories this week, Michael. Instead, we're going to be doing our first deep dive discussion episode in a long time. When's the last time we did a deep dive? Was it you and Riley with Tunic?
It was me and Riley, and I believe it was with Tunic. Okay. So that was a while ago.
Oh, man, that was... I don't think we're going to be as positive about this one as Tunic. If this is your first time listening to us, though, our deep dive discussions are basically mini reviews that we just don't want to call reviews. We might do deep dive discussions on recent releases or games we just want to talk about. And at the end of our discussion, we'll give out our verdict on whether or not we'd recommend the game at its current price, if you should wait until a decent sale comes along, or if we just don't recommend it at all. Hence why we're unofficially calling the podcast Power Up and Recommend today. On this week's show, though, as you guessed by the title, we're going to be talking about Madden NFL 23. And damn, this might be a long one. Do you have some alcohol handy? Because we might need it.
Unfortunately, no. Although I will say that alcohol might be the best way to enjoy this game.
Oh, man. We'll be talking about Madden 23 from its gameplay to its visuals to the franchise mode to all the other modes to just whatever else comes to mind. But before we jump into the discussion, we do want to say that we both played the game on Xbox Series X. Also, be sure to check out the official review for Madden NFL 23 on thenerdstash.com. We'll try to plug reviews from the Nerd Stash when we can as well. But hilariously enough, today I'm kind of self-promoting because I was the one who wrote the review for the website.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
In what I believe is my fifth year reviewing Madden for the Nerd Stash.
Now you gotta do it written and verbally now?
We'll see. I wonder which one is easier. Me writing out all my thoughts or doing this in podcast form. This is my first time doing it in this format, so it's going to be interesting. So, with all that said, let's go ahead and get into our deep dive discussion on Madden NFL 23. Michael, what are your general thoughts?
There is no way they made this for the Series X and PS5 because there is nothing about this that screams next generation. I don't know if you experienced this or if you like took notice, but is the loading between menus really slow for you?
For me, it kind of is.
Okay, and good. So it wasn't just
for a lot of these next gen games. I go back to there might be some comparisons between like the 2K franchise, which has its own set of problems by itself, but one thing I have enjoyed was their next-gen port and the way they've handled next-gen for NBA 2K. To where I remember getting my Xbox Series X and playing NBA 2K21 on next-gen. And I go to load up a game and I'm thinking, oh, okay, that's going to take a few minutes. I'm going to go look down at my phone. I look back up. I'm already in the game. Like, we're ready to go. We got the presentation there. While there is that for like loading into the game on Madden 23, whenever it comes to let's go to rosters, all right, let's go to depth chart, let's go to free agency, it still feels clunky. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's a long loading, it's just clunky.
No. Yeah, it's not like you're going to be sitting there for 30 seconds or something. It's so noticeable, especially with like the whole thing with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X and even the S. Was toting about the SSD, how fast everything loads up, how quick everything streams in when it comes to assets. Even games that uses those assets constantly, like, I hate to say it, Fortnite, you know, and Apex Legends. They use the SSD to stream things faster so they can have further draw distances and without everything popping in. And for this, you think menus, that's easy to load in, right? It's just a bunch of text. Sometimes it is so slow to load in. Like, I get annoyed when I have to go to another menu, because you and I talked about this before we even got on the podcast. I think it was like a day or two ago. This game is menu heavy, just as heavy as the past two, three decades, actually. It seems like every year they find new ways to bring in more menus to keep you from everything except the actual game. And you can, and you just notice how slow everything is loaded in. I was playing Franchise and it got me in there pretty quick. I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But when I was doing the manager side of things, when I was looking at my arenas, when I was looking at my marketing, when I was looking at my players, my staff, my coaches.
So you were playing as an owner.
Yeah, I was playing as the owner. And for some reason, everything was just so slow. Like when you've been on your computer forever and you know your CPU is starting to give out and like things start to load in slowly, or when you're editing a video, you put text in there and it comes in ever so slowly before it completely renders in. And that's what this felt like. It didn't feel like I was playing on a Series X. It felt like I was playing on the original Xbox One. Not even the One X, the original Xbox One. And that was, it was so annoying to me. Like, it wasn't game-breaking, don't get me wrong. But it was just so annoying because I found myself getting caught up being an owner and trying to figure out how to make my team a Super Bowl caliber team. And it draws you out so fast. It just becomes very annoying.
Yeah. I want to get into, real quick though, I guess I'll talk about my general thoughts though. There's a lot of decent stuff in this game. Honestly, this is probably the most fun I've had with the gameplay in Madden in quite some time. But when it comes to any real depth, any real innovation, there's just nothing totally here that I haven't gotten in the last year's franchise, other than a few things like Frey to say that we'll talk about.
Okay, well, see, when you talking about the gameplay, I was actually kind of annoyed with it. Like, did you try the, what were they calling it? The Field Sense, the new precision and all that?
Yeah, so getting into the gameplay of Madden 23, there is some new in quotation marks here, because some of this stuff was basically in old Madden's. They're just putting it in new marketing speak.
Yeah.
There's skill-based passing. There's 360-degree cuts. There's hit everything and wide receiver versus DB matchups. That's what Field Sense is, the new mechanics around offense and defense. So the first thing, what you were talking about here, was skill-based passing, which, if anybody listening to this episode doesn't know what that is, basically it gives your quarterback, it gives you more control over where you're putting the ball. So if you don't want to throw a pick, you want to throw it a little bit more towards the sideline where you think your receiver can get it, you can do that. You can try to lead your receiver a little bit more just in case. Unfortunately, though, the big thing for me is I think with the Field Sense mechanics and just the way they wanted to really hype up, like, defense is different, look at the new animations for everything, it really works sometimes, especially with the tackling. But this game has a massive problem with interceptions and fumbles.
I'm so
and
glad
I don't mean
that.
When I say that, I don't mean, oh, Taylor is bad at this game, he just sucks. No, I mean on the other side of things. Sometimes I'll pick things off or cause a fumble, and I kind of get taken out of it because I'm like, this is the fifth in turnover. We're in the second quarter. Like, can we chill the fuck out here? This is not NFL Street. And don't get me wrong, I love a little bit of arcadiness in Madden games. But there's a certain point when you're trying to do a simulation football game, and you're a little too arcadey to where the gameplay gets annoying. So that's what got me with the gameplay. Other than that, though, I love the skill-based passing. I love running the ball in this game. It's a lot of fun. You can actually make better cuts in it. Like I was saying, when you're on defense, from time to time, as long as it doesn't get in overabundance, it is fun just to be like, I'm going to use the hit stick and just knock the fuck out of somebody. Unfortunately, though, there's also a case of you using that hit stick and your player going in literally any other direction the ball carrier is not in. But all in all, even with the issues I talked about, it has been a lot of fun for me getting into the game, and I think it has to do mostly for me with the skill-based passing. I thought that was a really good addition.
Okay. All right. For me, I kind of had what you had, only when it came to the football, it was the other way around for me. On my first go, I ran the ball. No, I'm sorry. It was a kickoff. I got the ball, got to the 23. Okay, whatever. On my very first play, ran the ball. I juked one player, just clean. Got hit by another player about 2-3 yards down the line. And somehow, the ball was fumbled. And 2-3 AIs couldn't pick up the ball. And they were all stumbling around before somebody finally picked it up.
Yep.
And then
I actually do mention that. I'm going to plug my review every now and then just to,
go ahead, do that
for transparency. But I actually do mention that in my review too. Like sometimes you'll fumble the ball and either your team, your offense just doesn't know how to pick it up, or everybody just forgets how to pick up a football all of a sudden. They just start trying to kick it or run around it, ignore it. It's just weird.
Yeah, it's rain. And then when I tried again, my player, I juked another player. Juking players very easy in this game. Oh, and for disclosure, I was playing on All Pro Simulation. So I wasn't playing on All Madden, and I wasn't playing on Arcade. I was playing All Pro Simulation. And the tackling in this game is so strange.
There are times, I don't know how you feel about it, but there are times that I love the tackling. The gang tackles it too, because there's like this mini game where you can try to fight for extra yards, but you're more prone to fumble.
Yeah, if you smash the A cool. Fast enough, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff's really cool. I like a lot of the new animations. They don't seem, this game still seems animation heavy, to where that's the cheese, I guess the best way to put it, but it feels like it's less animation heavy than in years past. That's not saying too much, but still. But then there's also times where just the tackling, it doesn't work the way it's intended to, I believe. So the gameplay is good to me. It's very fun when it actually works, which is to me like 75% of the time.
Right. I mean, for me, it was just so strange because everybody would just like fall over like toys, like blocks. And they would kind of like tremble and stumble around. I was like, good God, this takes me out of the whole simulation aspect, because there are some good animation in the game. Like I said, I was juking players because you can read their animation. You can read when they're about to go in for a tackle or when they're about to reach your character, which I'm all fine and dandy with. That stuff was cool because it allowed me to actually make moves. It allowed me to avoid sacks as a quarterback. It allowed me to read plays. I was able to call slants and audibles and hop routes on the fly, which is great. And you get into the game and then you see the fumble that shouldn't have been a fumble, or the fifth interception, or characters just falling over like blocks, like toys in Toy Story or something. And it takes you out of it so fast that I actually found myself having more fun as being the owner in franchise mode than actually playing the game. And now I understand why my brother, who is a huge Madden fan, he's into this game way more than me. I now understand why he spends so much time in the menus, because there's so much of it that you end up having more fun trying to balance out players, signing players, trading players, upgrading them through training and all that, and even through the skill tree that they have. All that was all fun. And I was like, okay, this is actually kind of cool. And then when I tried to play an actual game, I'm like, this isn't fun for some reason. Like, playing the actual game isn't fun. And then when I was going through the difficulties, I found that there's a difficulty for esports. So the rules for the esports rules are different from regular Madden rules, where there's not a whole lot of penalties or none at all, and the AI is completely different. And so now I understand why, when it comes to these Madden tournaments and stuff, why they make it look so easy. These players aren't that skilled. I'm not saying they're not. They are skilled, but they're playing on this version that's not actual football, which is kind of strange, seeing how this year was supposed to be the thanks coach to John Madden, who sadly passed away earlier this year. And wait, was it this year?
I think it was either earlier this year or the end of last year.
Man, it felt like earlier this year. But to the late, great John Madden, this was supposed to be their version of thanks coach, you know, where they try to make this whole thing. When you boot up the game for the first time, you get put into this Madden legacy deal where you get quote unquote modern Madden and young Madden. And it's so weird. Like, it felt like they threw it in there at the last second. Oh, look at that. We made a tribute to John Madden. You don't even use his old team.
So the thing about the Madden Legacy game, though, I think it's one of those things where I appreciate the general intention. Especially I like the commentary. That was really cool. Them going through Madden's Legacy and all that stuff. But the NFC-AFC dynamic, I'm good with that. It's a Pro Bowl thing. It's also a thing where they have Brett Favre. Brett Favre was one of John Madden's favorite players. You got Tom Brady. You got a lot of other Madden's favorites in there. And then you go to some players that Madden never called games for. Like Patrick Mahomes is on that list. You have a bunch of players that are playing now that are on that list, which I don't know what players John Madden loved. Because, you know, he retired, 2009, 2010, I want to say? He retired over a decade ago. So, unfortunately, the public didn't get to hear his thoughts on modern NFL a lot. But it would have been really freaking cool to have an all-time team of all the players John Madden loved. Because there was a lot of fucking players that he really liked their game.
Because he was like a huge fan of football.
Yeah, and the thing is about John Madden is he was an awesome coach. He was even, in my opinion, an even better commentator. They kind of changed the game with commentary and made it less of like, oh, we're just going through the play-by-play, and he actually made it kind of fun. You go and look up, if anybody's listening, go and look up John Madden, like his best moments in commentary. It's freaking hilarious. The guy's just having that fun out there, calling the game he loves, watching some awesome plays, and you can see that. And he knows what he was also talking about, too, because his time being a coach. So, and it would have been great to see that really bleed through in this legacy game, or something to honor John Madden that was less... the way you put it, it kind of felt more tacked on.
Yeah.
Well, again, the intention of doing something like this, awesome. The execution is just where it just left a lot to be desired for me. Especially putting him on the cover, too, and everything, which was, in my opinion, I thought that was the right call.
Yeah.
But if you're going to come in and honor John Madden's legacy, I think you got to do more than what you did. Because John Madden gave a shit about this franchise when he was hands-on with it. He wanted this to be a game to get people to watch football, to get people into the sport for a... what Madden claims to be, which is a simulation of what is on the field.
Yeah, with no referees on the field. Daggone. But yeah, I think having him on the cover for this year made sense. Okay. But if they're going to do a tribute, an actual tribute, either put some effort into it and put it in next year's Madden NFL game, put it in 24, or put some effort into it and make like an all Madden edition, like an actual all Madden edition, to where you had all kinds of throwbacks to like his first year as a coach, or the times he won the Super Bowl,
what was that, NBA 2K12 or something like that, with Michael Jordan, the first time they had Michael Jordan on cover. I think it was 2K11, where it was all Michael Jordan's best moments.
Yeah, like doing actual,
and you got to play through it.
And I believe EA even has the rights to ESPN. So they could have done like a ESPN-esque kind of thing to where it was people from around the
I don't know about that
from
one,
around the commentary. I think is when back when it used to be Madden versus ESPN football. I think EA, when they got the exclusive license, they also got a bit of ESPN, but I don't think they have it anymore. They probably haven't done anything with it, and nobody else makes football games, so there's no point in getting ESPN. But they could have gotten a bunch of different commentators from around America, you know, like ESPN, F1, or whoever else covers football. I only know ESPN. And they could have had all of them do like a tribute to John Madden. Like, hey, this is such and such from this one, from ESPN. John Madden was a hero to us, yada yada. You know, you could have done an actual tribute.
I just think you could have done more with it. I really do.
Yeah, this would have been, if you were going to do it this way, this would have been the way for you to show everybody that, yeah, we still give a shit about the John Madden name. Like, we have great respect for this guy, for this coach, for the commentator, for this person who loved football more than probably most football players. And you didn't do that because all you thought was, hey, we're going to slap $70 on here, throw John's name on there. And what asset do we have from years past? Like, I don't know. We have some old John Madden assets. Cool, throw that in there. Because I'm sorry, but that John Madden model looked kind of bad.
I want to talk about the Frostbite engine. Because in general, in the general visuals category of the field and the way the jerseys look, the details, I think the game looks good. Whenever we get to many of the character models, not all of them, but a vast majority of them, I think this game does just, it looks weird, man. And I'm not even saying this, like, the game engine, people, I think, always get this confused. A game engine isn't just visuals, it's how the game runs.
Yeah.
At every single point, this game just feels awkward when you're playing it. Even though I said all those good things about this gameplay, I still think it just, there's this uncanny valley to the characters,
yes,
to the character models' looks, to some of the ways these players run, tackle, throw, catch, all of that is just, I don't know, man. I think this Frostbite engine, we talked about it in the past, I don't like the decision EA made to put so many of their games.
Yeah,
every first party game on the Frostbite, or at least most of them. But it was not the right call because not every one of these games fits that game engine. Frostbite was made for Battlefield. It has no business being on a sports game. It just doesn't. And I think we've seen that over the years with many EA games, from Mass Effect Andromeda to Anthem, to where the game engine, just, you see the cracks in it. And you can already tell, like, it's been years and years, you can tell, alright, this engine is getting outdated. As many times as they make updates to it and they say it's the revamp engine, it's a new Frostbite engine. Is it, though? Is it really new and updated? And I think it's just time to do something different game engine-wise with this franchise. It's about damn time.
Yeah, everybody's, even Unity is moving forward to the point where I think more people would rather use Unity than the Frostbite. Like, if you allowed everybody to use any engine, they'll pick Unity and the Unreal Engine above DICE's Frostbite engine. And, I mean, and yeah, you're right. The models in this game looks so weird. Like, again, I played the Cowboys, so I was looking at all my players. Banderesh looks weird. I don't really know what's going on there. The hair, I think that's what it is. It's the hair. The hair models in this game is just so bad. Like I've seen indie games that were playing around with hair that looked better than what we see in this Madden game. And the lighting looks kind of strange. It looks so plain and bland and flat. And I think that also helps with the uncanny valley that you were having. Because their faces seems kind of molded, like kind of like dolls. They kind of have like this fake doll look.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And that is, it's just, it comes across as just weird. And again, I want to point out that EA is marketing this as a simulation Madden game. What they're trying to be like is, oh, this is just like you see on the field. And there's moments where that actually does come through in the gameplay, and I have a lot of fun with it. But then there's other times where you see a character move and interact, and just, I mean, look at the coaches on the sideline when you're playing Madden. It doesn't, they don't move like normal people.
Yeah.
They move like animatronics or some shit. It's weird, man. Like, everything about, like, the way character models move in this game, the way that most of the character models look, is just, it's that uncanny valley. They look like, kind of like dolls, like wax figures kind of thing. That's the best way I can kind of describe it.
Yeah, and they have that robotic movement to them. That's another big problem.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying with, like, the animations, the animation-heavy gameplay that Madden has had for years and years. Madden 23, for as much shit we've said about it, I think they eliminate a lot of the animation stuff. It's still present in the game, in my opinion, but they eliminate a lot of that, oh, so this is, don't run a screen pass here, because the animation for it is so fucking slow. It's not going to work. You're going to get blunt. You can run screens in Madden, by the way, this year. That's one thing that has to be said. I've been able to actually run screens with success in this game, which is, it's a plus. I'll give it that. But going back to the engine here, it's just clear to me that this game is outdated in terms of the Frostbite engine, the customization too, man. This has been made fun of for years. How the faces are the same. College athletes that are can be drafted, and they have, oh, here's what they look like. They look like they're 40 years old coming out of college.
Wow.
But what did you think of the customization in this game? When it comes to generally the yard, the face of the franchise, all that stuff.
So I didn't play the yard because... It just made me want to play NFL Streets. It just was like a really watered down version of NFL Streets. So I honestly did not play that part. Facing the franchise, it's the same. Just like you said, you feel so limited. You really don't feel like it's your player. Like, hey, yeah, you can pick one of our 16 distinguished faces, which a few of them have copies somehow. They've copied a couple of player faces. So that's whatever. I don't really feel like I was making, like, my football play. Like, if I was in the NFL, it kind of felt like you could just hit a random button. Like, if it was a randomizer, you could just hit randomize, and you get the same, you get the same player no matter what. None of it feels unique and distinguished. And I get it. It's like, you're in the NFL. You're not gonna have, like, all these different gear on you. You know, you're not gonna have all this stuff, like, but yeah, but you know, you have players on the field with all kind of hair, all kind of tattoos. You don't really get options like that. You know, you get a few options that look,
you don't have off the field clothes. Yeah. You can pick all that kind of stuff, to where you made a good point. The NFL is not the NBA. In the NFL, you have pads on, you got a helmet on, you have all this stuff. So I can at least see the beginning of an argument that, oh, you shouldn't have a crazy deep face customization. That said, it needs to be much better than what it is now, because it's been what it feels like the exact same set of faces, the same exact customization set. Yep. For the past 6, 7, maybe 10 years.
I would give them 5 or 6 years. Because I know they did ask me,
Michael, the coaches, you creating a coach, there is a face in the coach creation that looks the exact same as NCAA 14. That's how far back this can go. We really want to get into
that's how far back they went for to find old assets.
And that's another piece of the customization is, oh, here's your coach. here's these six or five or four faces you can choose. Here's the body types you can choose. And here's like the 10 different pieces of clothing you can wear when you're out there coaching and looking like a weird Freddy Fazbear animatronic out there. So, to me, here's the thing. Where's team creation? Where's a detailed player career?
Man, the same place as the build a stadium that they used to have, like, what, 3-4 generations ago?
Feels like it. That's the thing. This, to me, there's a... I know you felt differently about the gameplay. To me, the foundation of the gameplay is actually solid. I don't want to say the foundation because I think the Frostbite engine's the foundation. That's fucking awful. But the gameplay itself is fun.
Yeah.
Everything else about it, from franchise to the yard to the face of the franchise, which I actually enjoyed face of the franchise because it did this thing where it just took out all the intro story stuff that it made you just play through and watch cutscenes and was like, nope, you're the starter. There you go. Pick your team. And just let you play football. It's a crazy fucking concept. But all of these other modes, Ultimate Team, even Ultimate Team, they're moneymaker. It feels just so hollow. It's just quantity over quality.
Yeah.
Is the best way to describe this game. There's way too many game modes that have no depth to them.
Yeah, they feel like add-ons, mostly. Like the yard. The yard just feels like a pointless add-on. Because I think somebody had...
And the yard has potential. You talked about NFL Street. The potential of the yard is NFL Street. And instead, it comes across as this watered-down version of NFL Street. Yeah. To whereas, instead of you wearing just street clothes and you're out there playing arcade football, you still got the helmets, you still got the pads, you got all that stuff.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I think somebody at EA wanted to do NFL Streets. And since they needed something in Madden, they're like, yeah, sure, we'll do that. But I think it's only because the NFL is so strict on what can and can't be done inside of Madden. Because I know there used to be, when a player got injured, they used to cart him off and like in the emergency cart.
Yeah, the older men's, I remember.
Yeah.
That. And not only that, which I understand, I completely understand. I'm just doing this to add on to Michael's point. And I don't think this should be in the game either. But they also took out concussions and stuff like that. Yeah. Again, don't think that should be in the game. That's something else over the years Madden's been like, we're not doing head injuries. That's really serious stuff. So I get you, though. And they took out referees.
Okay, that I don't even think that's on the NFL.
On the field? Well, I know that's more on EA, but it's just stuff that's been in this game before.
Yeah, the little stuff that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and that comes to the presentation of the game,
which is lazy.
Yes, it comes across as so boring. Not only does the game not look too great when it comes to character models and everybody just not moving naturally, and then once you get into the pregame, it just comes across as stale. Nothing, there's nothing there that makes you want to watch it, you know? And whenever they go into, here's the next gen stats for this, I'm an analytics guy. That said, a lot of these analytics that they're putting there, like, next gen stats for this, it's just, it doesn't fucking mean anything.
It means absolutely nothing.
There are not any meaningful stats that you would want to look at and be like, wow, I can't believe that's what my player just did on that play. Or, for example, this gets brought up a lot when talking about Madden and its boring presentation. The halftime show. Look at the halftime show for ESPN 2K5 and Chris Berman.
They have a halftime show?
Now, yes, in ESPN 2K5, they had a halftime show. Are you talking about Madden?
No, I was making fun of Madden.
And Madden is just nothing in the game's total presentation from the commentary that is not Charles Davis and Brandon Gotton's fault. At this point, it's just they're stale. They're just it's repeated lines that I've heard year on year, and I'm kind of tired of just hearing them.
Does it sound like they're getting kind of bored of being in the game too?
I think so. It comes across that way. Yeah. I don't know if that's just me just projecting onto that, but
no, I heard it.
I agree with that.
I heard it too. It sounded like they were there due to contract obligations. It didn't really sound like they wanted to be there. It might be time for EA to just find somebody else. Like, there's all kinds of commentary. I'm pretty sure you can get Troy Aikman.
I don't like Troy Aikman as a commentator, but my point is you can find other commentators out there to do this, and you can give them new lines that aren't repeated year after year.
Yeah, get the Manning brothers.
You can get a better, because again, nothing in this game comes close to the presentation in the halftime show of ESPN 2K5. I'm not even saying the total presentation of ESPN 2K5. I'm saying, when you compare this entire game, Madden NFL 23, to ESPN 2K5's presentation of the halftime show, ESPN has Madden beat. That's how terrible the presentation is at Madden. Celebrations are lame as hell.
Oh my goodness.
Everybody's doing weird Fortnite dances that nobody does. Half the time, whenever you're doing a character's signature celebration, it's not their signature celebration. You get some people doing backflips that don't do backflips. The only player I've seen do backflips in the NFL as a celebration in the past 5 years has been Nyheim Hines for the Colts. And that's it. I don't know why, if all of a sudden I'm seeing it like with random players after they get a touchdown. They're like, I'm going to attempt a backflip. The third string running back who's getting in there and getting a playing time isn't attempting a backflip after a touchdown. They're not taking that risk.
Have you noticed that? I mean, you were talking about the animation earlier. I'm glad you brought up the celebration. Have you noticed that players don't have their signature movements? Like, everybody kind of runs the same?
Yes, and that has to do a lot with the Frostbite engine, too. Is the way these animations are, they come across as, even though they're getting better, it's still, at its foundation, broken. They run like robots out there. It's fucking weird.
I'm watching Schultz beating people to the punch. Schultz is a big guy. Right? He's slow. All right? Any Cowboy fans will tell you that. He's a slow guy, but he's powerful. And that's why we love the ball in his hand, because the guy, he can break through. But for some reason, Schultz is moving like he's Ezekiel Elliott. Like, I can give him the ball, start juking players, and I'm trucking. I'm like, yo, Schultz don't play like that. He doesn't move like this. But I can get him to play like that.
For franchise mode, I will let you just go on a full rant about it. Yeah, I think you've played a lot of it. I generally enjoyed it. The additions, at least, with the revamp for agency, with the player motivations, the player tags, all that stuff. It's just, I think the scouting is fucking boring as hell. It's even more boring than the old way of scouting. Don't know how that was possible, but it happened.
Scouting is terrible.
There's nothing there that's in depth that makes me want to keep playing year after year after year after year, to where real life assistant coaches aren't in the game. It's a bunch of AI generated assistant coaches that come through, unless a head coach gets fired. There are generic skill trees, which I'm fine with them putting skill trees in there, but they just copy pasted it over pretty much, it felt like.
Yeah.
The game planning, which it's fine, it is what it is. I think you could do more with that game planning. There's no training camp or mini camp that everybody loved about the old men's. Do you remember, like, back in the day, there was whatever your rookie class was that you imported in, you had this, like, East-West Shrine game kind of thing that you played with the rookies like a Pro Bowl? So before the draft, you could play with all the rookies and be like, oh man, I like playing with this quarterback. I'm going to make sure I draft this quarterback.
Right.
And I think about the older men's and how in-depth the stats were, how in-depth the, oh, this person had this motivation to go here. This person has this motivation, doesn't want to be a backup. Not going to sign with you. They put some of that in here. It's just not enough to keep me playing year after year. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm pretty much out there with you, especially when it comes to the scouting. It just felt so tacked on, like they wanted to do more with it, but couldn't, or maybe didn't have enough time, because I had 3 or 4 scouts spread out through northeast,
national, southeast, west, all that. Yeah,
yeah, because they break it down to, like, you get one half of America, and then the middle half. And then the right half of America is broken into 2 different spots. I don't know if that's how they actually do it.
But I'm gonna, you know what the problem is with it? You're not doing anything.
Yes.
Even with the basic boring one that was the last few years of Madden, you're still hitting the A button or the X button, and you're hitting it multiple times to reveal attributes when you're scouting. In this new system, all you're doing is assigning a scout or hiring a scout to cover a certain area, and then they do the work for you. As for the other things, I do want to talk about free agency real quick before we move on. I really liked free agency this year. I would say that's definitely one of the bright spots of this year's game.
Free agency was a little easier to get through. I was able to find a couple of guys that I couldn't get in my draft. A couple of positions I couldn't get in the draft because they were, of course, projected to be picked up by other teams. I got one or two players in my draft that I wanted. But free agency, I thought was kind of cool. I kind of like the system that they got where, like, hey, this player is most likely to sign because you're close to home or because you're the Cowboys and they know you're a...
It's not just money. And that's one thing I like too, because one thing I think people don't understand as much too with players and athletes in general is because of fantasy football and Madden and NBA 2K, I think sometimes people don't go, well, we'll be able to get this player because we have all this money. Just because you have all that money doesn't mean you're going to get the player. Yeah. Because the player has certain motivations that might not be, hey, I just want the most money from this team. They might want to go chase for a ring.
Yep.
They might want to go to a state without state income tax.
Yeah.
They might want a team with a franchise quarterback. So I really like how they put that in there.
Yeah, and a lot of players that I signed that I probably had no business signing, they wanted to join because I was the Cowboys, the no income tax, and because I had Dak Prescott still on the team.
Because Dak Prescott has the franchise quarterback tag, yep, because Dallas has a historic championships pedigree.
Yep, and a no income tax with Texas. Like, I had an unfair advantage. I will admit that. I had a pretty big advantage because I was Dallas. And a lot of players want to be on the Cowboys because it's a legacy team. It is a legendary legacy NFL team with a long history.
It's something you guys have been known for, not the past few years, but you guys have been known, even though you haven't won championships in the past 90. Few decades. That isn't a shot, just saying.
No, really. We haven't won jack squats in the 90s. No, we know.
So I am glad they put these motivations in there. I think the evaluation periods were pretty cool, too, with the free agency. Because I'm looking at the first stage right now. You had five players. You could put in five deals with five players. And after that, you would have to evaluate all those offers. And maybe somebody you liked that you wanted to sign that you couldn't put an offer on signs with another team. It kind of gives that, okay, I got to be a little strategic here. I got holes in my secondary. I got a center I got to get. I got a wide receiver I got to get. I got to prioritize the positions that I got to sign here. Then you got to look at your draft picks. And, oh, okay, so I can draft this person here. They're projected to be a top pick. That fills that need. You know what I mean? It gives a little more strategy than just what it was in years prior, which is, hey, here's the free agency screen.
Yeah.
Okay, you can sign everybody.
Yeah, it never really felt like you had much of a say if someone was going to sign or not. At least with this, I know, hey, I know what the cap is. I know your stats. I know what you're interested in because it's all on one helpful screen. I didn't have to jump through three.
It tells you how many teams are interested too in that player. Yes. And when you put in a deal, it'll tell you exactly, okay, you're in the hunt. You're probably not going to get this player though because somebody has a better interest than you.
Yes.
So you can go right back in and make a new deal with that player that one-ups it, or you can stay pat and maybe the player chooses you somehow.
Yeah, I do like that they put in there, hey, these are the top three teams that this player will probably go to. These are the ones who are most interested. And if my team was on there, it's like, oh yeah, I got to grab this guy up now before these other two find him, because there was a player that the Rams wanted that I also wanted, and I was able to make a deal to get him. I was like, oh, that's actually pretty cool. It's great to have this kind of information. But with another player, I like that they show that the scheme that I picked, because I changed Mike McCarthy's scheme. I don't know what he was doing with the 3-4, but I changed his overall coaching scheme, And I was able to find players who fit into his into the scheme that we worked up.
And that's what they were looking for. They wanted to find a team that fits with what they think their best skill set is.
Yes, and I've had players who I needed their positions, but they didn't like the scheme we were working with. And so their interest was like deep in the red. But then another player who was less experienced but good at certain positions loved the scheme that we were running, and he was really interested in the team. So it's nice to know that you have to take all this stuff into consideration. The schemes that you pick, your legacy, what player you have on the field, because you're not going to have Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott forever.
Oh, it reminded me. It goes with like the year you're having. So my yes. first franchise I did was with Baker Mayfield Ooh. And the Carolina Panthers. And Baker had such a good year. His player tag moved from just, I don't think it was anything. I don't think he had any kind of player tag to he was a franchise quarterback. That's how good of a year he had.
Wow.
So teams wanted to go to the Panthers because I had Baker on my team. Because now I had a franchise quarterback. Which in real life, whether you think Baker is a good quarterback or not, I think in Madden, that's pretty fucking cool. As for everything else, though, the draft feels very samey.
There was no effort put into draft. I played like the first two or three rounds just to make sure I got the players that I liked, that I really wanted. And after that, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to sim the rest. I don't care who else we get because they're probably just going to get cut anyway. So like,
preseason feels the exact same. Mm. The game planning feels the exact same. You could do a lot more with the game planning. And that's one thing I actually did like about Face of the Franchise. I liked how you could, this is going into the other modes, but you plan out your week in Face of the Franchise. So you're doing your usual team drills, which you can do the practice for. You can earn points for that. You can have an off day that you can either have the off day, you can do off the field stuff to help with becoming a leader for the team. Getting your fans up, like you getting more rep or doing charity work, stuff like that. Then you could have stuff that would give you bonuses like cryotherapy or a sauna, stuff like that. And I think, I don't know if that's something you could do in a franchise, but it felt like there was more effort put into that, which still felt minimal but appreciated compared to franchise, which is just, all right, do you want to defend the deep pass? Or do you want to defend inside running?
Yeah.
All right, do you want to run inside? Do you want to throw the short pass? All right, you got 3 to 6 players you can focus on. And there's your goals that you can get some skill points for. Sim it or play it.
Yeah, although it's kind of strange. Maybe it's because I was playing the Cowboys or whatever. But by the time I finished the first year, the 2022-2023 season, I almost had the skill tree decked out. Like, it was really weird. Like, I almost had one whole tree decked out. And I was like, man, by the time I get to the 2024-2025 season, my team is just going to be completely loaded. But the feeling that it was actually doing something felt minimal. You know, it still felt like it was luck rather than actual, like, doing the right way or building your team the right way.
Does it feel the same thing with game planning, too? Like, the general game planning, whether you're running inside, outside, I don't know how you feel, but it feels like it does nothing for me. It's just something to where you're going through the plays that you can pick, and it's green because it was on your game plan. That's the only thing it feels like it does.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it felt really weird. I couldn't tell if, like, me working with Mike McCarthy to change up the weekly game plan, I can never really tell if it actually did anything or if it was just a game just rolling the dice and seeing where it rolled.
All right, we got one last topic before we get into our final segment of this deep dive discussion, and that is where we think this franchise should go. How can this franchise change? So in my review for Madden 23, I kind of mentioned, and on this podcast last week, we talked about AAA gaming, man. We were talking about the state of AAA gaming. And in my review for Madden 23, I said that this game is an excellent example of not just the state of sports games, but also the state of AAA gaming right now. There's a lot of games that are released in a bad state with the promise of fixing it later. There are a lot of games that want to be a live service with no real reason to be a live service other than capitalizing off of the current trends. And that's what Madden 23 feels like to me. It's a live service game that makes incremental changes year on year. It's riddled with bugs that may or may not get fixed. And it's a live service game that has an annual release with a $70 price tag attached to it for next-gen systems. Everything about that doesn't make any fucking sense when you think about it. What are your thoughts about this current set of Madden right now?
I agree with you. For $70 on these next-generation consoles, now we know as current-gen consoles, this isn't enough. These small changes, they're not enough. You and I talked about the animation. We talked about the engine. We talked about how the models were like dolls. This isn't acceptable. If you're going to charge $70 up to $120 because you got the whole deluxe and the gold and the Madden edition and all that, they need to do an actual upgrade. You need to upgrade the models. You need to upgrade the animation. Upgrade the daggone menu. The menu should not be running sluggish the way it is on the PlayStation 5 and Series X. The game shouldn't feel like a chore to get to one menu to the next. This doesn't feel like a $70 game. It doesn't even feel like a $60 game. It feels like I'm playing an updated version of last year's title. And like you said, these small incrementations, they're not enough. Okay, if the franchise wants to change, if it wants to do better, make bold. Don't add in new modes. I will be that bold to say, do not add in new modes. Build upon the modes you have now and make them feel like they belong there, like they're actually doing something. When it comes to being a coach, like you were saying with modeling, allow me to make a coach that I don't know looks like me. Let me make a young coach that looks like me. For players as face of the franchise, let me have a little more customizations for when my player isn't in pads. When I'm talking to the press, I want to dress as goofy as any NFL quarterback in the league. All right. I keep forgetting his name, but I want to show out. I want to have a feather hat on. I want to have three layers of jackets.
Russ Westbrook.
Yes, thank you. Just like Russ from the NBA. Yes, I want to be the rest.
Cam Newton's also another player who
but I was thinking,
you gotta respect it.
Yeah, but I was thinking of Russ. I want to be the Russell Westbrook of the NFL. All right, I want to wear outlandish things to show my personality to the world. You know, I want
to
feel like it's,
by the way,
my player.
To bring up the comparison again, NBA 2K allows you to do that in many of its
moves. My goodness.
To where you can have the outlandish clothing on the court, or not on the court, really, off the court, especially. And I remember, I'm not sure if it was like this in last year's title, I can't remember it too much, because there was two different versions I played. But you used to be able also to have like outlandish suits,
man,
as well.
See, let me-
and you can't do that in Madden, to where your dude is either coaching in pretty much a polo, a t-shirt, some slacks.
Yeah, let me give my creative player some personality, please. Okay, make that bold step. When it comes to scouting, make it show me that my scouts are actually doing something. All right, I want weekly reports from my scouts. Hey, I think this player is going to be good for us. Hey, this player from OU or this player from Florida University, I think these are some good players that we should be looking at. Hey, this person is going to be projected first and this. I want actual in-depth reports, not this lazy.
Or tendencies too with drafting. For example, there are teams that like certain colleges, that like the draft players from certain colleges. We saw this past year, and granted, it was kind of hard to miss because 15 Georgia players went. But the Green Bay Packers drafted two Georgia players in the first round last year. So obviously they do like the SEC, or they like Georgia. They like the players that come from there.
Yeah, OU.
Or something like that. Because I don't feel like that was a strong comparison. But hopefully anybody listening to this podcast knows what I mean.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Because like, it is known, like, a lot of times. I think the Patriots, too, find a lot of people from the Alabamas,
yeah,
from the Floridas,
yeah,
colleges like that.
OU, Alabama, Florida. Those are really the places. Those are the places that a lot of Tennessee, even. Those are the kind of places that teams love looking at. Kansas, you know, central and southern teams. Those are the ones that get looked at the most.
There's great players that come from every college.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about that area in general. I would like to see that. Yeah, just like you said, like some teams, they look at certain colleges. I would like to tell my scouts, hey, I want you to find a wide receiver. What college has a good wide receiver? Oh man, Georgia Bulldogs. They got some great runners. They got great receivers. Okay, focus on that. I want you to go and find me a good Georgia team. I mean, a Georgia player. Or hey, I want you to go to Florida. Find me a good quarterback. You know, let me find out who's a Heisman winner and who like who's in second and third place to be a Heisman. You know. Like, maybe when Dak starts to retire, I want to replace him with a Heisman winner, and I could do like you and try to tank so I can get this Heisman player. let me make decisions like that that actually feels like I'm making actual decisions that affects my team in a positive or negative way. Those bold moves with modes that you already have will make the game feel a little more fresh, because it feels like you're not just taking stuff away and bringing stuff back from years past. It feels like you have a solid foundation and you're building on it. Build on the scouts, build on the draft, build on what you're doing right when it comes to, like, you and I agreed on, with players having likes and dislikes and how we can see how that's going to change how they want to pick a team.
Build
on that.
Look at this past year's draft. One of the reasons the Jaguars picked Trevon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson is they thought he was more athletic and had a better ceiling. And there was this big presentation to the draft, to whereas you go to the Madden NFL 23 draft, and the only reason we keep bringing up, oh, well, you want to make it realistic, is because this game wants to be realistic. It clearly wants to be what is on the field and what happens every year. It's why we got the changes to free agency, which I do applaud. I think it's much better. But that's got to go to the draft. It's got to go to scouting. It's got to go to the pregame. It's got to go to how players improve. And that's another thing, too, is I know these players, a lot of the times, they talk about their rating. They want a lot of these things in the game. They want to be better, faster, all that stuff. But there's also got to be negative tags attached to some players. If you're going to put Antonio Brown in the game, Antonio Brown should have a negative effect on a team sometimes. He should have some kind of tag attached to him that he can cause drama and cause team chemistry to go down. Or a player like OBJ, who, yeah, he got himself a Super Bowl ring, and he did a great job in the Super Bowl last year when he played, but he's injury prone. He gets hurt quite a lot. You know what I mean? Stuff like that that's not in the game, that should be in the game, but it's not, because they're not wanting to upset these players. But most of the time, they're upsetting the players anyways.
Yeah, a whole lot of players weren't happy with 23 when it comes to their rating stuff.
No, just overall, I think McCole Hardman, who plays for the Chiefs, he was like, this year's Madden's trash. And McCole Hardman's now one of my favorite players in the NFL for coming out and just being like, yeah, I'm not even going to pretend here. But yeah, man, I think that's what it comes down to. And I think you made a good point of stop adding stuff. Just work on what you got and make it better. And face of the franchise, improved, can be a lot better. Ultimate Team, as much as people give shit about Ultimate Team, and I get it, 100% do. It's a greedy mode that they make so much money on every year. But even you look at that mode and you're like, you could do more than what you're doing. I played Ultimate Team last year. I played Ultimate Team this year. There is very, very minor changes to the mode this year.
Yeah.
Everything in this game just comes across as hollow. And that's my thing here. And I also, final time I plug my review, but I mentioned it again there, is I think there's two potential solutions to this, in my dumb opinion. I think you can either ditch that annual release and give the developers time to make a game that makes those meaningful additions, because let's be real here, in its current state, of all the problems we talked about with the Frostbite engine, everything they should bring back or add on to a game that people would like, you only have so much time to do it with the team you got. They just don't have the time, I think, in the annual release to put everything in there that people want and fix an engine and fix franchise and fix Ultimate Team and fix Play Now and all this stuff. Or the other option is you just make the thing free to play. Because that's what it feels like anyways. Yeah. It's one of those two to me. But what do you think?
I'm sure if EA could find a way to monetize the hell out of this game to make up for the $70+ they're going to lose by going free to play, I'm sure they would. The Madden Season Pass would be ridiculous. But yeah, I agree with you. Stop adding stuff in, all right? Because you're not really adding anything new. You're just adding in things that you already had. I still say that if you're going
to add and bring Madden, stuff back that were in the games before that everybody fucking loves, that makes the modes that you already have better.
Bring back minicamp.
Minicamp. They do have practice mode now to where the quarterback has a red jersey on.
Yeah.
Which you still get actually sacked, which is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, but I just say build on what you have now. All right, take 23, build on that. Don't add anything, none of that marketing field sense crap, all right? You're bringing back something you already had with a new name. Call it Field Sense 2.0 or something. I don't care. But just build on the foundation that you have now, okay? You're on the Series X and PS5. Heck, even the PC didn't get the PS5 Series X version. Like, they got the old PS4, Xbox One.
Which is really messed up, by the way.
Yeah, that was kind of weird that they did that. But yeah, build on that, okay? You just take what you have now and give us more. Better scouting, better character creator. Because again, I want to be Russell, all right? I want to be the Russ of the NFL. And also, when I answer questions from the media, I would kind of like for it to actually feel like there's something going on, because I would get asked.
Yeah, it's always the generic, hey, it's beginning of the year. How do you think your team's going to do this year? Or, hey, you're going up against Tyrann Mathieu. He's one of the best strong safeties in the league. You could either praise him or trash talk the team, which is, by the way, as a coach, you would never trash talk the player or the team because you're just giving billboard material to him.
Yeah.
It's really weird, and it doesn't come across as like there's anything going on during the season.
Yeah.
So I 100% agree with you there.
Also, after 4 or 5 games, the media stopped asking me questions. For the rest of the season, I didn't get any more questions. I was like, what was the point of that? I almost forgot it was even a thing. So yeah, build on those things, because it feels like you have ideas. You don't have actual plans. You don't have actual modes and creative deals in there. You have ideas. You have concepts. And we're seeing concepts. These are playable concepts. I would like to see them actually implemented in a way that's meaningful.
And the last thing I'll say is, you mentioned this, that about like them bringing stuff back and quit using these marketing speak. Quit bringing these things back and being like, look at the brand new Field Sense system that's never been seen before, ever. Look at the new free agency and player tags and motivations that nobody's ever seen before. Dude, casual people are going to buy this game regardless.
Exactly.
No, it does not matter if you call it brand new stuff or not. The casual people that you're making money off of, they're still fucking buying it. Everybody you're talking to about Field Sense and all this stuff that's been previously in the game in some way, shape, or form, just be transparent about it. I would respect this game far more if the marketing team wasn't like, there's this brand new thing that nobody has ever seen. Their eyes feast upon this new feature. But it's not a new feature. You just brought it back and made some changes to it. And you're saying it's a new feature. If they just came out and said, hey, we're bringing this back, we're making these changes to it, we're improving, all right? We're doing what we can. You know what? Respect to you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the honesty.
I think it would be a lot better if they were like, back from Madden 19, we're bringing this mode back, or we're bringing touch and run or whatever they called it back then, or whatever, whatever marketing speed they had. I think a lot of people be like, okay, cool, you're bringing this back and you're making an improvement for this version. I like that. And I think it would work a lot better.
Everybody who is paying attention to that stuff or listening to a podcast like this about Madden 23, they know that. They played this game before. They're not just, oh, this is the new Madden, I'm going to buy it and I'm going to play Ultimate Team, or I'm going to play Now Online and that's all I do. No, there are people who have played franchise before and know all the shit that you're saying is brand new was in the old games. So just be transparent about it. Tell people, hey, you know what? We're doing what we can. We're bringing stuff back that you guys want here. But let's wrap this thing up. Michael, would you recommend Madden NFL 23 at its current retail price of $70 on Xbox Series X/S and PS5 systems, which it is also $60 on other platforms? Would you wait for a good sale to come along, or would you simply not recommend this game at all?
If you have Madden 22, you don't need this. All right, go ahead and skip it. I don't recommend it. But if you're at Madden 19, Madden 20, yeah, just for the scouting alone, even though it's kind of half-assed, you might find enjoyment out of it. Because again, I did find enjoyment out of the franchise as the owner of a team. That was really fun. If you have it on, if you still have an Xbox One or PS4 or PC, skip it. If you have a PS5, Series X, I would kind of recommend it.
At its current price or at?
Discount, definitely discount. Again, okay. Unless you're like on Madden 18 or 19, and then I guess because it will feel new enough. But for me, again, $70 is still a pretty tough thing to swallow. But yeah, if you can wait until Black Friday when Madden is usually on sale anyway, I would recommend waiting until Black Friday.
All right. I definitely agree with you. I would say on last-gen consoles and on PC, skip it. All the new quote-unquote stuff, all the interesting features are pretty much not even in last-gen systems. It is pretty much just a roster update. But for the next-gen systems, I would say just what you said. I'd say wait on sale. This game is definitely not worth $70. I'd argue that it might not be worth $40. But about a $20 to $30 range, sure. Definitely. As like you said, too, the Black Friday deal always comes along for Madden, always goes on a sale for it. So that's what I would recommend for sure. All right, man, let's get out of here. We've been talking for quite a while on Madden NFL 23, so kind of ready to just go watch some real football.
Oh, man. Thursday night, baby.
I know. And also get ready for some gaming conferences this weekend. But more on that here in a second. If you liked anything you heard here today, we have a Discord server that you might also like to join. There you could talk with us about some Madden if you want to. You could talk about some movie news, video game stuff, comics, you name it. We're down to talk all kinds of nerdy stuff. So be sure to join our Discord if you got the time. If you want more from the Nerd Stash Network of podcasts, you may also like our movie/TV podcast called Nerds Talk Movies. On that podcast, our crew of experts, using quotations there, take a deeper look at beloved movies and TV shows via retrospectives and spoiler talks. On the latest episode of Nerds Talk Movies, we covered 2003's Daredevil movie starring Ben Affleck. And yeah, that was a movie. It was. The sad part is I was the one who recommended it.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a self-inflicted wound for me. Finally, though, be sure to check out the nerdstash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We also have guides, reviews, opinion pieces, and various other types of content on the website as well. Just like Discord, the link to the nerdstash.com is in the description of this very episode. I want to thank Michael for joining me. He will be back in the hosting chair next week for sure. I want to thank everyone else for listening. This episode is coming out on Friday, September 9th, which is also the same day the Marvel Game Showcase happens at D23. Then there's the Ubisoft Forward show on the 10th. So I think you can guess what we'll be doing next week on Power Up and Game.
Crying.
We'll be covering both of those conferences. That'll probably be the only topics. But we'll see you then.